हेलो एंड वेलकम एवरीवन टू द 14th एपिसोड ऑफ इस पॉडकास्ट को क्या नाम दू. आई एम एस एंड टुडे वी हैव अ गेस्ट रिटर्निंग ऑन दिस पॉडकास्ट.
Hi everybody, I'm back and I'm like really grateful for S and Ritz to get me back on the show again. And let's chat.
Yes. So this is our dearest Amrita. For those who have not heard her before, she was there in our previous episode, episode 13, which wherein we discussed Anjali and Shyam's anniversary at Ardavat Khushi's iconic meet again, finding her in the cupboard, always an excellent start. So we have a lot to talk about this episode, because this episode we are going to be covering the moment Anjali brings a proposal for Khushi to work as Lavanya's trainer, a very odd turn of My Fair Lady, to right up until the day of Janmashtami. So there's quite a lot of things in that. There's the Raksha Bandhan, then there is Anjali crying, Arnav doubling their offer, multiple things happening on several levels. So yes, I have very strong feelings for this episode, and I'm pretty sure Amrita has like, I don't know, like 5-6 shipments of anger, which is exactly
you're completely right there. It was like a very traumatic period for the characters, for especially for Khushi and her family, and like we are all there in the same boat with her. Yeah,
exactly, which is precisely why I got her here, because I'm like, you know what, at least thoda dil ka dard kam ho jayega, like you share your sorrows. So
yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, so we have all been rubbing about the show, so this is the first time, I think. Let's just talk about things that made us like angry, I think. And this is the period when all of us can actually say like things were not working even for the viewers. So yeah,
exactly. And I think this is the first track where I would have given up on the show if I was not so much in love with Arnav Khushi, and moreover Barun and Sanaya. Like, they're really good actors, and the production aesthetic, like, those are things that I'm like, you know what, I'm sticking in the show because of that. Because this is a track where I understand that this decision had to be made. I read, I think, Gautam's interviews where they were like, they'll get facing pressure from the channel to switch it from an office setting to a home setting.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm not aware of this.
Yeah, because I think the channel told them that, after all, Star Plus is family driven. So they really, like, he said that if it was on Star One, like IPK is a show that's actually made for Star One. If it was on if it was on Star One, then they really wouldn't have shifted out of the office for a really long time. So, I mean, personally, I really love that the office track was very short, because I love the idea of Khushi giving up the job on the third day, because she's like, no, he crossed boundaries and I'm not going to be working in this space again. So in my eyes and opinion, that's a big kudos. But yeah, I also realized, like, I'm not blaming them for introducing this track, because channel can get very crazy on shows. I would always tell everyone to check out What Happened to Kaha Hum Kaha Tum, which is another show that was literally destroyed by by pressures from the channel. So not demonizing the channel, but you know, where facts are facts. So I completely understand that why they brought this track over here. Amrita and I, and later Rids, will be discussing as to how they handled this particular track, and that's where most of the shortcomings are. So on that note, we will quickly discuss about the things that we liked. Amrita, go ahead.
Okay, so as you said, this space was quite problematic, honestly speaking, no matter how many times you watch it and how many times you try to, like, you know, kind of make things work in your own head. Okay, like, you know, the, like, you know, the production side of the story, like, you know, what compelled them to, like, you know, switch the setup from a office environment to a home environment. Despite that, it was actually, I could laugh at a few scenes, honestly speaking, because either I was so, like, they were really upsetting. So the only thing I could do was, like, you know, laugh, okay, along with what was happening. Or they were generally funny. Like, this was the first time Mami and the Buaji met. Explosion. So the dialogues, I love the dialogue writer, especially the person who is responsible, all the hilarious and memorable one-liners that were given to Mamiji. And they were just brilliant, the Buaji Mamiji interaction. And what I found really amusing was in that room, they were the two eldest people in that room, and they were like the one who were behaving like absolute, like unruly children. That was very funny to watch. Another thing that I found quite funny was Shyam spots that he's about to be caught. His wife is going to enter, and all of a sudden, with his broken leg, somehow he has managed to, like, you know, jump over a window or what, but he's outside. So that made me laugh. But barring these, like, lighter things, what I really have to, like, you know, admit here, the writing was very good. It was... things were, like, very difficult to watch, and they're still very difficult to watch as an audience. As in, like, they still make a lot of sense to me. I'll tell you why. Because I thought about it. Somebody left the job because she was so badly traumatized by what happened. She really needed to help out her family member, like, you know, rescue her Babuji's, like, you know, get back her Babuji's shop. Like, you know, even Buaji was facing a few problems and she wanted to help out everybody. She really needed that income, okay? Despite that, if she had to leave that opportunity, that means she really couldn't have continued with it. And she's somebody who can really, like, you know, keep on going despite being, like, you know, not happy with the setup, okay? That we have seen her do later or even before that, right? So for her to come back to that guy's house where she will have to face him, you really have to push her. And you really have to arm twist her, blackmail her into doing something. Otherwise, I just don't see any reason why Khushi would have agreed to go back and help anybody from this guy's family. Not because she had a problem with them, but because they're related to this guy and she just does not want to, like, you know, come across him in any manner, right? Because even the interaction she had on the day of anniversary was very bad. So for that reason, I think that... the writing did make sense to me, honestly speaking. And I think we had to go through that period of absolute slump in terms of, like, you know, things were pretty wrong. Okay, they were downright wrong in terms of what was happening with Khushi. And I realized one thing, like, this still feels very wrong because you're showing a person who is really desperate for some source of income. And this is what everybody is exploiting. And that takes some serious level of writing. Like, I know what is happening, I'm not enjoyed, but still I have to give it to you because I admit what you are showing is probably the only way I could have gotten the two characters back together in a place. Otherwise, I really don't see that thing happening anymore. So in terms of what I liked, that was really nice. And Khushi, again, she's like, hats off to that girl. So basically, things were honestly kind of not going right for her, despite that she had to take care of her, like, you know, family members worried because Shyamji was adding more, like, you know, he was instigating people within her own family so that they would stop her from going and doing her job there at the Raizadas. And Buaji was very influenced by Shyam. So despite that, this girl still thought that it's the only way I can help my family members. And no matter how insulting it is for me and like, you know, how much it demoralizes me and how much I feel humiliated after every instance, I still have to do it. So hats off to that girl and to her spirit and to her, like, you know, love for her own family. Payal, again, beautiful. She understood her sister. She knew what was happening was very wrong, but she knew why her sister had to do it, and she was doing it. So she gave that up. She extended that support. Buaji, with her, like, you know, she would swing this way, that way. I get her where she was coming from. Another thing I really loved was how Shyam just beat up a random guy because his wife had told him, why don't you get a Rakhi tied by Khushi? That was hilarious. Okay. And other than that, what I really liked, what else did I really like about this piece? I think it's primarily the writing and Khushi, honestly speaking. Absolute champs.
Yep, I cannot agree further with you on that. And you know, one of the reasons why I really like the Mami Buaji combo is because Mami's comments can come across as very caustic, especially when she's with Payal. You really don't enjoy Mami then because it feels like you can see Payal is hurt by her opinions. But with Buaji, like if mommy gives a sixer, then Buaji hits right back. Yeah. So it's like watching the most weirdest but like interesting ping pong match between these two ladies. So like, you know, it's a battle of equals. Mommy and Buaji are absolute equals. And then the next thing, I think, as you absolutely said, because she's a great champion over here, I really love her response to Anjali's comments and to Anjali's like quote unquote help. And I really like it that Kushi decided that Kushi does not take monetary help from Shyam, no matter what.
Very true.
It is so important. It puts few things, like, you know, one, Kushi knows that there is a good distance between her and Shyam, and taking a help like this would, in a way, make him closer to the family, and Kushi is not comfortable with that. Like, he is a guest and she makes it very clear with that. Second, Kushi's self-respect. Her self-respect, she will fend for her family and no one else. She can take the money from Buaji, she will take the money from Payal, but not from an outsider. Sure, brilliance. And I really like it that the minute she enters Shantivan, her face is completely stony. Like, you know, Anjali smiles and she's like, oh, welcome, welcome. And Kushi's like, no, listen, I have a few conditions and you need to go with it. I wish she negotiated for a higher salary, because 30,000 rupees for that job is shit. I would have taken a lakh at least, just saying. And I also completely understood Lavanya. I completely understood her feeling of being humiliated, because she was not consulted with at all. Like, imagine you living with your boyfriend and then one day the woman that you trusted, I felt Lavanya also felt a bit betrayed by Anjali, because Anjali would tell Lavanya that I support you, and then Anjali does not consult Lavanya. There's no scene of Anjali telling Lavanya that, Lavanya ji, I have to bring Kushi home because to pacify Nani, but you don't worry, you don't have to change. None of that. Anjali wants Lavanya to change as well, which is highlighted with Anjali not consulting Lavanya and telling Lavanya in the most rude way possible. You're telling a woman to change and you're telling her that in front of an audience. Yeah. Obviously, Lavanya is going to hate it.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense. So that's why I really like Lavanya and Kushi's conversation later, because they both are forced by Anjali into a very uncomfortable situation, and this is the first time you see these two women talk who hate each other, like or just intensely dislike each other, come to a common ground, being like, hey, I don't like where you are. Like, that's the first time we see Lavanya slightly. Lavanya's always been impressed by Kushi's intelligence. You see that during the office track, but this is where Lavanya kind of gets Kushi, and there's almost a truce, because Lavanya gets that, yeah, I'm in this uncomfortable situation and so are you. Like, she understands that Kushi did not come here willingly, which I think mollifies Lavanya a little bit. And I really like the agreement that both of these two women have, where they're like, this is a conversation that Anjali should have had with Lavanya, but rather Kushi has with Lavanya, and they both are like, yeah, we just need to make a face of things happening and that's it. And then we can proceed to whatever happens next. So I really, really love that conversation. And Shyam ki to kya baat kare? Like, you've already said, he's hilarious, he's amazing, he is my most favorite villain on television. And I love his manipulation. And again, I love the fact that for the wrong reasons, he's the only one who's telling Anjali the right thing.
Literally
the only person who tells Anjali that you are taking advantage of Kushi's misery and financially challenged situation. Again, for the wrong reasons, but dude, you know, it's like scenes like this where really Shyam becomes a villain that you like, because he's saying the things you want someone to say for your heroine, but he's also the villain, so you have to hate him as well. So that is there. And I, coming back to Shyam, I really love the way he tells Mama and Mommy about how people are driven to commit an extramarital affair, and he flashes back to Kushi. I'm like, slowly and gradually you get his intention. Like, now you know that his intention is to have an affair. Like, he's not just silently infatuated with Kushi. He wants to pursue her and wants to have a relationship with her. Where I'm like, whoa, Dude, and can I just say at this scene, I completely love Mama and Mommy, where Mommy is like, why are you laughing so much? Do you have one over here, Manorama, and another Panorama?
Panorama, yes, yes. I'm telling you, her dialogue writer was like, should have been shouted like awards, you know, that person has done a fantastic job with the one-liners. Killer.
Yeah, I could not stop laughing when that happened. And another small I love the Raksha Bandhan. I think it was very sweet. It was well shot. It was well shot. The camera angles were not too, like, you know, sometimes things can get a bit too weirded out. The background score was very, again, mild and subtle, which is something I appreciate about IPK in general. They don't have any big, massive music playing around when it comes to this. And I also liked it that we got to hear the male version of Anjali's song, because it's from Arnav. Yeah. And my heart just melted for the siblings. I think the best scene in this track, hands down, is when Arnav and Anjali are in the temple. And he apologizes to her. And for the first time, you realize that how alone they both are. Like, you get a glimpse. You get a glimpse that, okay, they have extended relatives. But honestly, in reality, Arnav and Anjali only have each other. And they don't have anyone else. So that was, my heart really warmed up for that. And I think that is also one of the best written Arnav Anjali scenes in the show. You root for those two characters because of that. Like you know, dialogues such as, I don't know, Papar ka tukra hai, jab dekho hai, that can be a bit cheesy. It can be a bit overbearing. But I think they really played it very well. And also, this is a place where you see how good Baran and Daljeet are as actors, because they really sell that scene.
True. So your response just like reminded me of a few more things that I quite liked about this period. You remember that scene when, like, you know, Mami was not convinced that why do they have to, like, you know, kind of beg Khushi to agree to, like, you know, coach Lavanya. Anjali, like, you know, hits her, like, you know, like her Achilles heel. She'll be like, you know, what is going to happen if Arnav doesn't get married? Akash will not get to get married. And then she has this dream sequence. It was a very, very funny scene, but what really, like, you know, like makes me, like, burst out laughing every time I watch that scene, just see the tattoo on Akshay's back. Okay, so here is this Sanya. This is this guy who is a very bhola bhala, like, you know, goody two shoes, like, you know, mummy ki baat sunta hai kind of a guy, and then she imagines him in the sannyasi get up, and later nobody even bothered to mask that huge ass tattoo on his back, and that is visible, and he it was hilarious.
I love the tattoo. Okay, I love that's there. I'm like, yes, character development for Akash Bitwa. I need to know how he got that tattoo.
Yeah, so there is another side to Akash, like, you know, beyond just we get to see. So, like, you know, like, audience, we need to work harder. So that was there. Second was, I think, like you rightly said, that conversation between Arnav and Anjali at the temple really makes you think about this one very big truth about the relationship, that, like, you know, other than each other, they really do not have anybody else in their life. Okay, they're all extended family members. I think what was very important is the first time Arnav actually talks about that one very big fear he has about, like, you know, whatever relationships, like, you know, he has gotten to enjoy so far, that aap kisi ko bhi zyada, matlab, jisse bhi pyar ho jaye, jo bhi hota, after a point, like, you know, they have all gone out of his life, and that's a very big fear that he has, that it was like a massive tip between the two, between Anjali and Arnav. And for him, if he could not spot his sister, the first thing he could think of that, oh my god, like have I lost her too? So that's the first time it really hits you, like, you know, you see him beyond his like ASR persona. That was there. And one more thing I really loved was Khushi's reaction when she gets to understand the concept of living, and her response to that entire conversation, the way she would just, like, eat samosa, hats off to Sanaya Irani for doing that. I cannot recall any actress being so cool or doing a scene which would make her look silly, and, like, you know, she's She's a gloriously beautiful woman. Okay. Despite that, she would make those frog-like faces because she was just like, you know, gobbling on that samosa. She would do that. And like, she's not afraid to be silly because that's what the character had to do in that scene. And then the conversation she has with her sister was so funny. And when she was about to tell the sister what is that one thing that really bothered her about the concept of living, and she looked at like Devi Maya's photo and she like, you know, kind of lowers her voice, starts whispering. Brilliant writing, brilliantly acted.
Sanaya is one of the best actresses in television with epic comic timing. Like, she's really underrated when it comes to her comic timing. She's good. Cool. She's really good. But I think that summarizes our list for the things that we liked. And with that, I would like to welcome the person who would always love to Arnav in jail. Like, what timing? What timing? I think we have some Devi Maya connection going on over here. The one and only, the front runner, the ever beautiful, Rids, Rids, Rids.
I think that's a bit much. Okay.
Hello, Rids. Hi.
Hi.
Great. I'm meeting you for the first time. Hi.
Hello. I have heard that we are wavelengths on how to deal with Arnav match very well. So I thought I'd drop by for some salt sessions, I suppose. But yeah, really nice to meet you.
Hey, hi. Same here. Great meeting you.
Yes. So before we shifted to things that we disliked, I just realized there were these two technical scenes that I really liked. Is I love that the car is an actual car and the background is a real background and there's not some fake CGI that Four Lions was obsessed with at one point. So I'm just very happy to see that like, you know, the car is actually being, it's very difficult to get a shot in a car. There's like the whole setup and everything, but I was happy to see that there's an actual setup for that. I like Kushi's minimalistic makeup. Love it. Love, love, love. And I also really like, I like it that when Arnav appears on the at the doorsteps of the Gupta house, he literally looks like as if a Rakshas came with all the thunder hitting him at the right point. My cheesy self really loves it. But yeah, now we would shift into things that we did not like. Who would like to go first? We have a lot for this.
Yeah. I think let's start with the Rids.
Oh, I was going to say, let's start with Amrita because she's the guest. But I think I feel like a broken record here, but just the sense of entitlement that Raisa, the siblings have is unparalleled. I don't know why or how Kushi, like even with Anjali, I don't understand why Kushi feels this like sibling-esque feeling with Anjali, because she's a real bitch in this episode. I'm sorry, there's like two emotions with this, but I really missed this version of Anjali. You can kind of see that, oh, she's not that different from Arnav. She's a little more like subdued in terms of how she expresses it, but she also has that same like manipulative, like rise out of the entitled streak.
Yes, absolutely. I agree 1001% on that. We will talk further about Anjali. She is our point of focus today. Because I think we were all taken aback by how Anjali was in this particular episode. Like, it was very different from her initial character sketch that was presented to us. But yeah. Go on, Rids. Other khunnas jo nikalna hai, nikalo.
I feel like I'm going to just keep saying this, but Kushi should have sued the Raisada family at some point for a lot of money. The fact that this contract is not enforceable, but they keep reusing it to, like, I just feel like Arnav and Anjali find different ways to use the same, like, you owe us thing to keep Kushi around a lot of the times. And I just wish Kushi had like one friend who was a lawyer or who knew enough about the world to be like, yeah, no, I think they're the ones who owe you money and you should really like look into getting a lawyer. I wanted that for her. Obviously, it's not going to happen in an Indian TV show, but Like I said, I don't think this is uploaded yet, but in one of the top 10s we recorded, I was like, what did you dislike about the show? The fact that Kushi ended up with Arlo at all. And I think these episodes especially highlight why I'm so uncomfortable with A Happily Ever After. That leaves a lot unresolved.
Yes, we have to always, I remember answering this, somebody had asked me that, how do you imagine Arnav and Kushi ended up together? And I'm like, there's 75% of them where they started and the picture that we get of them happily ever after, there are so many things that's not shown on screen. Multitude, like, you know, like years of therapy, everyone acknowledging their mistakes, genuine apologies, some distance, some space. There are a lot of things that's not being shown. That's the only way I can imagine these two happily ever after. And I think coming to my set of dislikes, I'm just going to rattle them off one after the other, quick points. Is one, I don't like Arnav's anger. I understood his confusion. I understood him getting angry on the situation because I would have also gotten angry. I'm like, excuse me, you just said you accepted my girlfriend. Now you're saying you've brought the one woman I'm intensely, awkwardly attracted to change her head to toe into something that I don't like. Is completely bizarre, and that it was done without Arnav and Lavanya's knowledge, like the people concerned in the relationship, without their knowledge this entire thing was happening. I don't know what Anjali was thinking of pulling off, honestly, but because I think Arnav would have understood if his girlfriend started changing, just saying, because he's living with her. But anyways, what I do not like is how he literally misdirects the entire rage onto Khushi. I'm confused. Why?
I'm not. I think that's a character trait of Arnav's. It doesn't matter who pissed him off because she's the easy target.
Yeah, that it is. I just didn't like it.
Sure, but I'm also like, you can't be confused about it. You cannot like it, but...
The reason why I'm kind of confused is up until now, every argument where Arnav has yelled at Khushi or anything like that, we have the other half. We have Khushi giving it back to him in whichever way possible. And this is the first time in the show that this begins, and it pisses me off that Khushi stops responding to Arnav's arguments, Khushi stops standing up for herself. And this is what begins from this episode that I get so upset, because Khushi does not let Arnav know that she was literally arm twisted for this job. So therefore, he does not have any right to yell at her when Khushi herself did not want this job. Like, even in the anniversary when Arnav, like, tries to yell at her that, how come you're working here? And Khushi's like, if I knew this was your house, I wouldn't be here. And I'm like, okay, I can see this argument. But over here, when Arnav is yelling things after each other, like, I think as Rith rightly pointed out, there's nothing to be surprised or confused about her, about the situation. What I am surprised is that Khushi, all she does is stands and stares and waits for him to look at the tear in her eye and then walk off. She does not say that she was forced to this job. She does not say that she did not have any other option. She does not say that Anjali left her with no other option. I'm not saying she will badmouth Anjali, because she's not the kind of person to badmouth anyone, but I'm just surprised that Khushi really does not stand up for herself, which is very unlike Khushi. Like, this is where we start seeing the downward slope of Khushi as a character, and I hated that they make this a trait of Khushi, that she does not immediately respond to anyone verbally assaulting her character. And one thing I really hate is how they start making Khushi as someone who always over empathizes with other people, because it's a very small dialogue, but it pisses me off to no end that when she comes home and Payal asks her, it's not even been 24 hours since Anjali Okay, maybe it's just been 24 hours since Anjali gave her that 48 hours, since Anjali gave her that very weird proposal to work at the family. Otherwise, she'd, like, you know, she'd file a lawsuit, God knows what, against Khushi. He said, when Payal asks her, why are you so upset? Khushi's like, you know what Arnav said. And I'm like, okay, good. You bottle up your rage and you're exploding right now. And then she's like, how can Arnav speak to Anjali like that? I'm like, woman, I don't need you to care. Are you serious that you're sympathizing with Anjali and you're not caring about what he just said to you? How can, and if this was the Anjali of anniversary, like if this was, because Khushi herself said that her respect for Anjali really deteriorated because, like, you know, of what Anjali did. I cannot imagine Khushi being like, how dare he talk to Anjali like that? And it's not that she continues the statement that I'm not surprised that if a man can talk to his sister like this, then he talks to other people. Like, she's not using this as an attempt to understand Arnav's character. She's just hurt for Anjali. And mujhe is baat mein itna gussa aata hai. I'm so furious that she says that. And then I hate how much they pick on Lavanya. I'm just like, please. Because I don't know how learning to make tea with tea leaves and making pakoras suddenly makes Lavanya a very eligible person overnight. I'm like, please, she's worked for like 12 hours. God knows, I don't know if she's like in, I always think she's in the PR side of things because she always looks like to be worried about the image of AR. So I think we can understand why when Lavanya comes back home, she makes a cup of tea for herself using a tea bag instead of tea leaves. Like, I don't get it, what Anjali's not thankful to Devi Maiya because Lavanya learned how to make tea with, I don't know, loose leaves. It pricks on my thing that from this point on, they pick on every single thing about Lavanya Kashyap that it gets on my nerves. And what if, I just want to say them all, otherwise I won't stop, is it's hilarious because she's learning about the live-in is hilarious. What I hate is the immediate judgment that comes after that. And that, oh, Arnav must have forced Lavanya into this relationship. Arnav is a piece of shit. Excuse me? How? There's not even a scene where Kushi overheard Lavanya saying that, yeah, I wish we really got married, but that's not what Arnav wants, and I will comply with what he wants. I'm not saying that at this time in the show there will be a heart-to-heart between Lavanya and Kushi, but if Kushi somehow heard Lavanya expressing these thoughts and then realized, Kushi's like, oh no, and they try to make it comedic. And my problem is not that Anjali is a real creepy person in this track, or Kushi is quickly very judgmental, or yeah, that's the case, is because they try to paint both of these women right for things that are absolutely wrong. When Anjali, I hate Anjali's apology, just telling you, that's filled with so much of entitlement. She does not apologize for insulting Kushi. She does not apologize for the fact that she took advantage of Kushi's misery. She apologizes by explaining her situation. She's like, I'll do this for my family. And I hated that Kushi immediately forgives Anjali. Like, this is the woman who like literally killed Arnav Singh Raizada for throwing her in the guest house, and then later like did not even talk to him during Tej, even though they had multiple rabbaways. Are you saying this woman quickly forgives Anjali? I did not get it. And the last thing that I hated is Nani. Again, not because Nani is the way she is, because they paint her right. And we should all take fun with the fact that Nani, it is later understood in this track that Nani purposely kept on talking about Kushi to Anjali, so as to Anjali can bring Kushi home and Arnav can see Kushi and understand what's a true Indian bride. And she literally ships Arnav and Kushi, like sends them in a car ride together, sends them together. She ships them when her son is actively in a relationship with another woman. Are you serious? Your own damad cheated on your daughter. Like, what does this say about your sanskar? With that, I'm done with my rant.
Okay, cool. I'll start with mine. Okay. So I'll start with the first thing which made me really angry was, again, the treatment Lavanya was getting from everybody in the house. Like you said, during this period, probably Shyam was the only person in that house who was speaking sense, but he was speaking sense for very wrong reasons. Lavanya, again, something is being done to her without her knowledge, without anybody having any conversation with her. And this time, nobody even bothered to check with Arnav, because again, you are trying to mold her into a very different kind of a person. And whether you guys like it or not, doesn't matter. Arnav is already in a relationship with Lavanya, and she is how she is, right? Arnav never had any problem with her. So, and you guys are constantly saying, I want Chote to be happy, Chote to be happy. And this is how you guys are making Chote happy. I'm not understanding what is happening. So I, like you said, I could completely understand Lavanya's anger And just like Arnav, she would end up like, you know, like whatever nonsense was happening in her life, she ended up like, you know, projecting everything on Khushi. So for her, again, Khushi was the person because of whom her life was going wrong. And Khushi thankfully was very wise, and she went and told her, listen, we both have our problems, but this is the only time we could probably save each other. So let's keep our differences aside and let this be the period of truth. So yeah, again, I don't understand what was happening with Lavanya and their family and why nobody actually wanted to give her a fair chance. Arnav behavior with Lavanya, again, very bizarre. Okay, why he's not having any conversation with Lavanya is beyond me. And Lavanya is taking shit. I understand that she wants this guy's family to accept her, but I don't know. It was a very unfair thing, unfair battle. And though there was a point when she was like about to leave, okay, and then Khushi holds her back. So that was there. I'll not talk about Anjali right now because we have a separate section dedicated for that. Next thing, Nani, obviously, I just didn't understand Nani's point of, because though you were saying you felt that she was kind of trying to set up Arnav and Khushi together, what I understood was she was just trying to make Arnav see that Lavan is a very wrong person because she is not the ideal like Indian Bahu. That's all she wanted to prove by getting Khushi in that house. Okay. Bizarre, strange, so incorrect. And after this, I'll come to Khushi's behavior. Like I said in the past, Khushi again was appreciated for quite a few wrong things. Exactly like you said, they were shown to be like two very wise people for all the wrong possible things. The moment Lavanya said that this is a relationship where we don't want to get married to each other, we are happy with the live-in setup, automatically her thinking was that, okay, Lavanya has, like, you know, she has been forced by Arnav to be happy in a setup like this. Okay, there is automatically, it is the first thing she could think of, ki Arnav ji ne kiya hai, fair enough. Okay, second is the woman in the relationship has no agency of her own. She has no say in this. So it's immediately she could say that Lavanya ji aisa nahi karna chahti thi, pakka Arnav ne karwaya hoga. Like, what are you talking about? The woman just said, I too want the same thing. So how can you easily dismiss a role in this entire setup? That's like, okay, again, kuch supposedly bura ho raha hai, toh, okay, fine, peg it on the guy. That's acceptable. That is, and now coming to Arnav Singh Daizada. Okay, fine. I think he's a problem with projection. And I have also noticed one thing. Every time he has like, you know, like been very, very nasty with Khushi, it is that incident has always been preceded by a time where he wanted to act in a certain way in regard with Khushi, and he was very upset by it because he was not happy with the way he acted, and he was looking for a chance to basically again prove to Khushi that, like, you know, you can't fuck around with Arnav Singh Raizada. So I understand, like, you come home and all of a sudden you see this person is again back in your life and you're very upset about this thing. He went on and on, like, till the time Khushi was not in tears and she literally did not have to leave the place. Again, nobody has peripheral vision in the show. Shyam was like standing in that corner. She could not spot him. That was very bizarre. But, you know, one more thing, you said that you could not understand why Khushi would take it, like, you know, like the way she did it, because usually whenever she gets into an argument with Arnav, it's a two-way street for them. It's never that, like, you know, even if Arnav will eventually have the upper hand because he can do some really nasty shit, I think she did not do it this time because I think she's still very afraid of him. The last time he got very angry with her, like, you know, like even in the past, whenever he's gotten very angry with her, things have gone really wrong with her. Okay. So I honestly don't know if she would have felt like that I can, like, you know, get him even more angry by arguing with him. So maybe that's why she took it. Or maybe she was just trying to be the better person, because I don't know what was that behavior. That's the only way I think this still makes some sense. And overall, I think everybody was like, I just wanted a break from the Raizada family during this period. I would have been very happy if they would have just shown Buaji and paella and titliya and garima sobbing on the call, that would have been fine with me. So this was actually a very, very difficult period to like sit through and not like lose your sanity.
Agreed. I would have liked the rise of the family to perish. In general, I think all of them have many issues that I don't know why. Like, my feelings towards the show are very complicated because I hate 75% of what they do. It's the well done 25% that lets me sustain this fan, like being in this fandom. Two things just to add to what you both said. I think this is where Kushi's sainthood begins, like her walk towards sainthood, like, or maybe I'm glossing over some things, but I think in general her character goes from someone who reacts normally to situations to being the ever understanding, always reading in between lines, looking for what they could have meant and why they did what they did, instead of, you know, feeling hurt and angry and behaving like a normal human being. The other part of it, I think, like you said, I would have understood if Kushi, like, they could have still had Kushi hate Arnav for a different reason. Like, everything could have been the same, but if Kushi saw, like Lavanya said, I want to be here, whatever, all that whole conversation, but Kushi saw how the family was treating Lavanya and how Arnav, for the most part, really didn't do much. He'd like once in a while said, don't, this isn't right, or like, you know, whatever, but he put her in that situation. Kushi could have still, like, you could have still sustained that, like, Arnav's an asshole track without making Kushi be this weird about things. I understand her like initial reaction to a live-in relationship, I guess, because she might not have been exposed to that concept, but the fact that she just completely ignores Lavanya's autonomy in that relationship is very bizarre. And I feel like that just becomes a character trait eventually, that she doesn't have, like, in a relationship, she, with the whole like bringing Sham back and like that whole shit, where it just turns into, oh, if it's a husband or if it's a male partner in a relationship, they have a bigger say. I don't know how to put it, but yeah, it's rooted in like misogyny is all I'm gonna say. I don't know how else to phrase it, but internalized misogyny.
No, I think that's completely I mean, well said, and that's completely understandable given Kushi's upbringing and the surrounding that she was in. Like, maybe she has seen that, like, you know, male partners in a relationship have more weight, and therefore she comes to the automatic conclusion that if there's any say in this relationship, it's Arnav's. But also, I think the problem with this, again, is showing that she's right about it, that Kushi's right to have these judgments. It's at no point, Kushi stops fighting with logic. Like, you know, this is an argument that happens a little bit further in the show, that when Arnav very logically tells Kushi that, how do you know that I'm the monster of this relationship? Like, Lavanya loves being in this situation. She talks about her own generalizations as if her own childhood is everyone's. And she does not like counter with if Lavanya, like, you know, I overheard Lavanya, which he never did. Or Lavanya, no woman would be ready to change her residence overnight if they really did not feel a long-term commitment. Like, she does not give anything that could actually go at it. I think she goes on this mode of, I don't know, this monstrous mode that...
They had so many valid arguments. I don't know why they stopped using. I'm just like, she could have been like, you know, you like... You know that she's more invested in this relationship than you seem to be. I just feel like they really went in with the cliched Indian TV shit at some point and look back.
Very true.
Yeah, no, it was difficult to watch because Kushi's sainthood is something I never liked. And as Rids coined, her sainthood is what makes me very upset. Also, Amrita, correct me if I'm wrong, this is also where Arnav yells at Lavanya for properly not working in the office. And
yeah, it's right after the chai making and pakoda making session. Okay, And so basically the setup is he's yelling at Lavanya because he had asked her to send a file, which she could not do because the family was driving her nuts, okay? And so she was just telling him that, you know, I couldn't do it. And he's screaming at her and he's like, ki ya to tum kaam karo, ya to ghar ka kaam karo. Some bullshit threat like that. And that's, I think, the last thing Khushi overhears. And while she's leaving the house, and right after that, she goes and starts talking to her sister. And that's where she comes to this conclusion that Lavanya is like, she's been held a prisoner in this relationship. And she has no say in what is happening.
I give flying shits to the conclusion Khushi comes to. I remember that I realized I hated Arnab for another reason, but I could not put my finger where. This is exactly the I wanted to murder and slap him so bad. How dare he tell Lavanya to choose between work and household when one, he's completely absent in the relationship, and number two, he does not have to do that. Like, that was one such a misogynistic thing to tell, and that Lavanya is unaffected. Yeah. I could not imagine that Lavanya is like, Asar, you brought me to your house, your family is driving me crazy. How dare you talk to me like that? Because Lavanya does talk to Arnav like that. Like, how dare you talk to me like that? And I don't know why they passed that off as comedic, because I would have slapped my boyfriend if he said that.
Yeah.
He would have.
Well, telling you, like you rightly pointed out.
Well, I didn't remember this or real. Well, I, like I said, I didn't rewatch it. But now I really do wish I was in front of Arnav to stab him. God, what an asshole. How did two women fall in love with this guy? And how did he not end up in a ditch somewhere?
Yeah, that's a big mystery, honestly speaking. I realized something, like, he misbehaves with everybody. Okay, his conference got cancelled. Somebody informed him and he's yelling at that person that tum mere ko abhi kyun bata rahe ho? Abhi pata chala to abhi bataunga na. Like, I just don't understand, because he has like some massive issues. And nobody is telling him, please go get professional help. It will be like so much better for each one of us in this house. The Prakash brothers, Lakshmi ji, everybody. Imagine like spending 24 hours in that hostile environment where you're just afraid that Chote will fly off the handle any moment now. Like, I don't want to. His looks and all doesn't really matter. Seriously, this was like a very troubling period. And I was just not understanding. I understand that, like, you know, Gavin is invested in this relationship, but this guy's family is completely like mad. So please, like, at least tell him to take a stand. So he knows that his family members are doing this to Lavanya. Despite that, he has the audacity to yell at her that tum ye choose karo, wo choose karo. Kuch nahi choose karna, just punch him, throw him in the pool and just leave.
Yeah, no.
Just again, just leave this,
like,
place.
You know, again with this, I think the problem that really start happening over here is that they try to pass off Arnav's anger on Lavanya for not being able to choose between home and work as okay, but they don't, like, they're demonizing him for choosing to live in a mutually consented live-in relationship. And they don't pick on him for being, and this was a very out of character, because the reason why we all love Arnav is because he's actually not a misogynist. Like you see that usually he's kind of supportive of what Khushi does, which is the bare minimum. And in fact, he gifts her the company because he knows Khushi loves doing that. Like, Arnav is a person for, the last thing he is a sexist. He does not care if women are at home or doing anything. He is kind of like live and let live kind of a policy. So I remember when I watched that scene just once in my life, I was very shocked, because that was a very out of character statement from him. And the entire show was just busy demonizing him that he was not ready to marry, as opposed to the actual problems that he was having in the background. And then again, I think the biggest problem of the show is not what was happening. I think all the writing could have been intact. Everything could have been intact. It's just the perspective that they held in this track. The perspectives were being oddly skewed, like Anjali's absolutely right for her demonic things that she's doing right now. Khushi is absolutely right for not thinking Lavanya is important in the relationship and demonizing Arnav for something that's completely based on her own judgment and preconceived notions. And Arnav is wrong because he chooses to live in with a woman who also wants to live in with him. And Nani is right for bringing in a random stranger so as to her grandson can see the random stranger every day and realize that, oh, this is what a bride should be. And maybe in that process, fall out of love with the woman he has convinced everyone he's in love with. Now I don't know what to say after this. I'm out of words. Kya bolu ab? Kya bolu ab?
Yeah, I know that aptly, like, you know, sums up everybody's reaction. And Dadi is such a devious person to prove that one point, that this is what you're supposed to choose. She did so much tamjham, and she like what all did she do? How many people did she end up manipulating to prove that just one point, ki tumko aisi ladki se shaadi karni chahiye, or this is the person, like, you know, you should be in love with. Super devious. Everybody in this family is maha devious. I'm telling you, everybody is like a sociopath. They just have to, like, you know, be like detected by a proper, like, you know, degree holder. Another thing which I just didn't understand in this entire setup was that, like, you know, all the things that we're talking about, everything that was problematic but was presented in a manner as if that is the right thing to do. These are all the Star Plus, Saas Bahu, like, you know, mindset that they were catering to. So everything that we all thought that it's actually, like, right. I don't see anything wrong in what Lavanya is doing or what Anna wants out of this relationship. But everybody has a right to affair and meddle in their affairs. And nobody is actually telling those two people that, you know, this is what we think, or this is what we think you guys should do. No, everybody just taking their own calls willy-nilly. No, Anna and Lavanya know nothing. They know absolutely nothing about what everybody in the family is up to. This was like, I really don't know. Like, and you know, the problem was like, there was no respite in this entire phase. Like, you know, you usually have a few things which you don't like, but they're always paired up with something which is pleasant. This entire phase was extremely unpleasant. Though I did say I found a few things funny, because I found them like silly and stupid in a way. Like, you know, Sham, like, you know, ending up beating, like, he's beating up one guy, he's standing in the corner and Khushi is right next to him. She's so blinded by her tears and has zero peripheral vision that she is like, are sahab to udhar hai nahi, udhar to hawa hai. So it's like, I'm laughing because I'm finding things very stupid, unless it's a conversation between Mami ji and some other character, because she's genuinely hilarious. It was like, I'm still traumatized by what I saw.
Oh, I was just going to say, I would probably disagree a little bit about Arnav. He's not overtly sexist. He's better than most ITV characters, men, probably. But he also doesn't, like, eventually he also just stops fighting his family on most things. Like, the fact that the Bahus of the house are expected to almost be their, like, cooks and waitresses and whatever, and while Anjali isn't, like, there's a lot of things that go on around him that he never questions either. I he doesn't perpetuate it, maybe, but eventually he has enough power in the family that he should have been able to, like, the one thing I can empathize with Arnav on to a certain degree is he mostly goes through life not giving a shit about most things. Except I would probably, like, in situations like these, I would react much more than he does. Yeah, he's not, like, he doesn't propagate it, but he also doesn't question a lot of things that goes on at his house. And I find that extremely to my dislike.
Yeah, I agree with Ritz here. I never saw him going and having a discussion with his family members of what the fuck are you guys doing with Lavanya? I'm not okay with this. He would have arguments with his family members only when the situation would involve Khushi, or like Khushi coming in front of him. Other than that, just saying no to something because it is wrong, he never did that. Never.
He did it once or twice before Khushi came, where he's like, it's okay that Lavanya is trying to cook food. You don't have to get on her nerves to cook absolutely best food. And how does that even matter in a relationship? He does say that like once or twice. But yeah, as Rith said, that he's pretty much like at one point he just gives up. He's like, let everyone, let the chaos happen. I'm just sitting. And giving up, say, yeah, Daya, Akash is dead. I think like he's dead for half of the show and he randomly appears on episodes. I'm like, how can you waste such a good actor as well as a good character? Akash is so wasted. Like they could have genuinely made Akash Khushi's friend. Someone who gives Khushi some sort of...
Or Lavanya's. Lavanya needed a friend in the house too.
That's expecting too much. I don't think they wanted... They didn't really develop Lavanya's relationship with any of the Rise Other members because they did not... Because, I mean, in a way, I can see it. Why? They did not want any of the audience connecting Lavanya too much with the Rise Other family because the main ship is still Arnav and Khushi. That's why you have this awkward Lavanya suddenly becoming friends with everyone right close to the end of her leaving. Like, you know, that's when she suddenly starts connecting with all the people. Because, yeah.
It's also because she just goes through an identity crisis at some point, too. I think living in the Rise Other house, she also goes insane. Because they never show the fact that, like, oh, I like doing this or nothing. Like, she's like, I've changed for your family and now... What the heck? Why are you no longer interested in me? I found that very confusing.
It is. I can almost sympathize with Arnav if he was not who he entirely was.
I have no sympathy for Arnav at all. Like at any given point of the show, you tell me that I feel bad for him, I'll be like, here's a list of 100 reasons why you shouldn't. I always have that prepared.
Yeah. And I think that kind of wraps up what we all did not dislike, like to for the sake of time. I think now we can give our focus to Anjali. Oh my God, what a shocker. What a shocker. I loved this version. I did not like that she was being portrayed as right. But I loved this version because up until a point, I was like, Anjali is extremely different from Arnav. But when I saw this, when I saw how she dealt with this episode, I just realized Arnav and Anjali are identical. They just behave differently. Like they're built of the same material inside. She's elitist as well. And the reason why I understand that she will never openly tell someone that you're beneath our class. But she will also be very aware that I am being very kind to a person who is beneath my class. Her entire attitude towards Khushi is, I'm a good person because I'm being kind to you and I'm attempting to treat you equally. And this you can understand is the way she shushes other people when they talk out against her. Because like you see, it's not that Anjali does not have a voice or Anjali is too elegant to argue. No, when Arnav hurts her, she snaps back. When Arnav hurts one of the family members or even Lavanya, I think at one point, somewhere in the show, I do remember Anjali snapping at him. If Arnav does something that Anjali does not like, she snaps straight at him. But if any of the family members are misbehaving with Khushi, Payal, the Guptas, or like, you know, or Hari Prakash, any of the Prakashes, then Anjali does not snap at him. Anjali is more like, she just shows this eye or like, you know, or not just towards Arnav, but also towards Mami, which even Nani does, is that they just show this, like, this, you know, the strict glance towards the other people. They're like, shh, don't say like that. They're never, and then they don't apologize. They're just a bit uneasy, which I find it's a very elitist attitude of a good person. Like they're like, they're not being a bad person. She will never insult Khushi, but she's always aware of the fact that Khushi is beneath her station, to say. And she believes that being a kind person to Khushi also makes her a kind human being. And I'm not saying that Anjali is just manipulative, but I just want to look the way she treats Khushi is she gets her courage to treat Khushi that way because she just knows that they're not of the same status. And that's why she feels that her apology is not about humiliating Khushi or bringing up a contract or taking advantage of Khushi's financial status. Because her apology is not an apology because Khushi does not have an option to leave the job then and there. So her apology is more like Anjali giving rest to her own conscience. It's not a true apology to Khushi because Khushi never has the option to leave the job for the fear of what Anjali has done, and the fact that Anjali does not tell anyone what she has done. She does not tell Arnav what she did to get Khushi over there, because she knows that Arnav would highly disapprove. And she does not tell, I don't think she even tells Nani, she does not tell anyone who's in a higher authority than, who has a lot of authority in her life, that what she did was wrong, in case they change their decision. Like, she tells Shyam, but she's also like, I'm doing this for my brother. And I find, like, this Anjali was, one, very layered, and also she was a Raizada in this episode. Like, I'm just like, I have mixed feelings for her.
Raizada sounds like a curse word the more we say it. Definitely agree. I miss this version of Anjali. The entitlement stays. The backbone that she had in this episode goes missing. If that makes sense. Like, she always, eventually too, even with the whole like Shyam ordeal later on, she always has this like, I want this. Why isn't everyone catering to my wishes attitude a lot? But she doesn't fight for things. I don't know. There's a delineation between those two that was, that combination existed in this episode that eventually goes away. I would have liked for this to sustain in her character and be shown how both siblings are equally responsible for bringing about chaos in Kushi's life. That would have been really great to see, but that was a lot to expect, probably.
Yeah, so for me, I was like, I actually remember the first time I saw that scene, I started laughing because I just could not believe what Anjali just said. Like, you know, for so many episodes, we were shown Anjali in a certain manner. There is this absolutely wonderful lady. You are supposed to root for her, blah, 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 blah. And then she does exactly what her brother did with Khushi. And somehow, they have the entire scene did not have the menace that they usually treated Arnav scenes with. So all the cues that you get, like, you know, the music, the background music, the treatment of the scene, editing, everything is kind of deluding everybody towards that. So Anjali's probably doing this thing because she wants her brother to be happy. But I just don't know who does this. Like, and what is that agreement? It was God knows. Do they even have a legit legal team there at ASR? Because it just looked like a plain A4 sheet paper. Somebody has typed out something on it, and somebody has preserved it. And I just don't know. Like, she should have actually gone to a lawyer. There was a lawyer in her life who was the biggest crook of all time. But I just could not understand. And Anjali was so deluded. She was constantly telling herself and people around her, in this case only Mami, because she was the only witness to that incident from Raizada, that what she did was right. Because then when Mami is like, mujhe aur ye sab nahi karna hai, like, why do we have to beg in everything? And that too, Fateh Sari, because she actually reminds him that if Arnav doesn't get married, your son will also not get married, because Nani will never allow that thing to happen. And that's how she gets, like, you know, Mami on board. She took a complete advantage of Khushi's position and situation. And the way she just, like, you know, like, she forgave herself. She obviously never asked for forgiveness, okay? She just said that, okay, this is my excuse. This is why I did what I did. And that's it. Like, let's, like... So, the sense of, like, you know, like, that's what I'm saying, that this woman had some massive issues because she actually convinced herself what I have done is right. Everything that she said in support of that act actually made her think that what I have done is absolutely right. And and I could never understand that how. And what made me really uncomfortable in this phase is this is the time when Khushi enters the house where she gets to know Arnav as a person. Beyond whatever she realized while working with him, that ye Arnav ki khushi hai, ye khana pasand hai, wo khana pasand hai. This is what eventually, adds more fodder to the relationship. How did this entire journey start? She was in this position of massive disadvantage where she's almost treated like a servant by everybody. एंड यू आर टेलिंग हम छोटे को ये खाना पसंद है, छोटे को वो खाना पसंद है, आप लावण्या जी को सिखा दीजिए. एंड दैट्स हाउ खुशी एंड्स अप बीइंग इन अ पोजीशन वेयर शी नोज एंड अंडरस्टैंड थिंग्स दैट आर बेटर फॉर अर्नव, एंड हेन शी इज अ बेटर चॉइस लाइक यू नो फॉर एनी इंडियन मेल. इट वॉज सो बिजार, सो स्ट्रेंज that I'm like still disturbed by the entire way it was written, and that's why I say that I think though this was a very difficult period, I still think it was written, like hats off to the writing team, because it's still very disturbing. And somehow you guys ended up convincing this character and so many people around her that what I have done is absolutely right, and these are my reasons for that. So yeah,
you know, the reason why I call Anjali, like I give Anjali more credit and therefore call her more evil, is because I think she exactly knew that she cannot enforce this contract, and she knew that Khushi did not have that knowledge. So she is that knowing that Khushi does not know that this contract cannot be done or things like that. Like Anjali knows it, and the fact that she keeps on telling everyone that she did it right for her brother, and her brother is also upset, and then her brother needs to apologize. You know, this is the thing that happens over here, that Anjali made a massive mistake, but because Arnav yelled more, he needs to apologize to her, and he's like, okay. And like, just look at the entitlement of these siblings. Khushi literally felt like a doll to me. Anjali is like, I'm gonna bring this doll home. Arnav is like, no, I hate this doll. I will throw it away. Anjali is like, how dare you throw my doll away? Arnav is like, I'm so sorry, Dee. I have brought her back. You can see that everything is happening based on these two's will.
I actually think Anjali and Shyam were the perfect couple. It's just the actual tragedy of IPK is that Anjali and Shyam ended up breaking up. Because when you were talking just now, everything she does with Khushi and Arnav and everyone around her is the exact same shit Shyam pulls with Anjali. And he starts shit off. And then she's the one who ends up apologizing for things, even though he's in the wrong.
Maybe that's why he was unable to divorce her, because he's like, I have met my match.
Yeah, exactly. Like the only way this could end is in one of us dying.
Yeah, that was a very, very difficult setup. And on top of everything, Arnav had the audacity to yell at Khushi while he was trying to find his sister. And Khushi was helping him out, and he had the audacity to tell us of tumhari wajah se hua. I was like, wow, wonderful. Thank you so much.
I just don't understand how Khushi didn't like pick up the closest object to her and bash his head in so many times in the show. Like, I am physically distanced from, obviously he's a fictional character who's on screen, but sometimes I feel like throwing my laptop away when I see what he does. Like I need to physically react to it somehow. He's all of them, actually, even Anjali in certain scenes for me. I just don't like, Khushi was a saint. Like, I can't see any other explanation for how she reacted to certain situations here.
And from this episode onwards, we lose the Khushi that we genuinely loved, like someone who's happy and chirpy but not a saint. Like, she was better than most people, but she's also, she slowly and gradually becomes a character who stops thinking about herself. And this is the episode where we see the beginning. I have a question to ask you two now. See, we love Anjali. Just letting you guys know. We love Anjali. We love Arnav. Our problem is with the way the perspectives were served and how some things should be regarded as right when they're not. So my question for you two is that one of the biggest problems that I have in this show that germinates over here is that something really bad happens to Khushi, and often the people important to her, such as Arnav, don't have an idea as to what happened, so they hold her responsible for circumstances. And this becomes a pattern. So what do you think would have happened if Arnav learned that Khushi had not come to work at her own will, and she was literally arm-twisted her way by his sister pulling up the very shameful contract? Amrita?
I think he would have done what he did when he went to Buaji's place and offered her more money and insulted her even more. He would have again found a way to make Khushi look like a villain in the situation, where she's just taking advantage of her sister's goodness, of, I don't know, Nani Ji's goodness. She's somehow exploiting the Raizadas. it was very easy for Arnav to always come to this conclusion. So I really don't see anything different happening here, even if he would have known that Khushi has not done this, because it happened even on the day of anniversary. He just very brilliantly assumed that Khushi has somehow, like, you know, found this, like, you know, milled this entire situation. Somehow she has, like, you know, entered the Raizada household and she's trying to be nice to everybody and win brownie points. And he does nothing even after learning that his entire assumption was wrong. So this is just how Arnav is to Khushi for like some period at least. So yeah, I am not going to expect anything changing, honestly speaking.
Rins?
Yeah, it would not have materially changed anything that happened. I think the only, like, with Arnav and Khushi, the thing that I've realized is that they're, no matter what the middle circumstances are, the destination is always the same. So the route might have changed, but Arnav would have still found a way to project everything onto Khushi. Because what would have happened? He knows that Anjali manipulated Khushi into coming there. He would have been like, well, let's still... To Anjali and Arnav, the other person is the most important person in their life, regardless of what should they pull. The only thing Arnav probably, like, he would have figured out a way to justify, maybe he would have gotten into a slight argument with Anjali or something, but even beyond what happened, but the end points of all of this would have still been the same, because as a character, he never has, like, I think the only time where he kind of chooses someone over Anjali is the shot, like, eventually once the kidnapping shit happens. Like, it's not choosing her or someone over Anjali, it's that he wants to, like, protect Anjali from Shyam, even at that point. So I don't see him changing anything in his behavior. He probably would have been like, oh, Khushi found a way to be like, manipulate herself into the situation and be indispensable to my family. She figured out a way of how to get into their good graces and he would have found a way to twist it around so Khushi caused it still.
Yeah, I think to wrap up, one of the things that always disappoints me about the show continuously, and I have to always imagine that they went to therapy and corrected this, is that Arnav's opinion of Khushi never really changes. He calls her a gold digger despite 5 billion facts in front of him that prove him the opposite, which is why I don't question why Arnav came to the realization that he did on the night of the terrace, because it's something from here. It's even if he had known the whole truth, he would have not interpreted things differently. He would have always found it difficult to accept a version of truth that he has not come forward with, especially if it costs Anjali's happiness. So yeah, not really a great episode.
Definitely.
I think it's actually, like, it's always an issue with IPK. I don't mind these episodes. I mind that they never pay off well. The setups here is really good. The fact that Anjali is shown as the character who can manipulate the way Lavanya's character is being treated in these moments, it just, like, it never finishes the arc. They always begin it and then there's a steep downward descent for most things, and that's the problem.
A lot of characters become one tone after a point. Like, over here, multiple Akash is non-existent. I don't know what they do with him. I don't know if they held him hostage to do the show. Like, dude just keeps on appearing every 5 days, bechara. But, like, barring him and Mama, maybe they take a trip to America every now and then. They're like, we can't deal with this shit every day. So yeah, I think I completely agree with Rids on the point, is that I think this is also very explanatory as to why I like the scene where Arnav calls Khushi the biggest mistake of his life, is because that's an excellent setup. And I think I hate it because there's legit no payoff.
I still disagree with you on that, but we'll get to it when
we get to it. Closing thoughts, everyone. Amrita.
I don't know. I am just still very troubled by what I had to rewatch. So, I just hope, like, Nani becomes a better person, but I know she probably never did become a better person, and we just applauded her because she, like, was a, like, a support. she supported Khushi. So yeah, I don't know, like, and Anjali, like, I really don't want to see her be like that ever again. And the way she just forgave herself, I'm still like, I can't get over that. She just forgave herself and she's expecting others also to do it, and she's making other people agree with her that yeah, I did it for the right reasons. So it was a very there is like a complete binary. There is like, you know, like either this or that. Anjali is good. Even though she has done something bad, I will still make it look like that she has done something absolutely fantastic, because Chote doesn't know any better. He is a Dudpita bachcha. So obviously Anjali needs to, like, you know, mollycoddle him and do everything that is right for him. So no wonder he, like, you know, he was such a, like, a nutcase. Honestly speaking, very sorry. Yes, but I never warmed up to Arnav as a character. Honestly speaking, he was just too problematic for me. And like I said, he represented everything that was wrong with all the like, you know, hero like characters that we were like, you know, like our Indian television was like kind of expecting us to, like, you know, really like and fall in love and probably think that ye to mere beta jaisa hai aur mera beta aisa hona chahiye. So the typical like Star Plus TG that they were catering to. So I'm still like, it's just that Barun Sobti is a fantastic actor. There are some very beautiful moments in IPK, but I'm still like, what the fuck is happening? Somebody please, please stop this. Yeah.
Jid's closing thoughts?
Agreed on everything. I think the basic truth of IPK is that the who each character values and prioritizes never changes. Like, even with Nani, she might grow a little bit more, like, she supports Khushi, quote unquote, yes, but when push comes to shove, Anjali and Arnav are still at the top of her list. Khushi's like, she cares about Khushi because Arnav cares about Khushi. I don't think it's like, none of the Raizadas care about anyone not from their clan that much. It's only a transitive property to them, the love that they share with these characters. And I don't think that ever changes. And I don't know if that's how most people are, but I find it extremely bizarre that if you're, maybe I'm just like out of touch, but like if your son pulls shit that's not correct, finding any means to justify it is the one choice, I guess. Like, that's why people, like, people end up with psychopaths.
Rishta nahi soch wahi.
Yes, that is my contribution to IPK.
And like how Anjali forgave herself, I will only ask myself for closing thoughts. Closing thoughts, S. Arnav and Khushi still managed to rub away. Their dedication is a different level, okay? Like, their seatbelt rub away. They have a seatbelt rub away, okay?
Yeah. Now, in between all the shit,
yes, they do rub away. I'm just saying, see, listen, out of context, that scene is so good, that little moment, because they're very close and she just looks at him with her big, big puppy eyes, and he just looks at her and he's like, we're close, like that's in their heads. I'm close. So I'm just like, bhai, I like that one scene. I like the temple scene. I like the car to temple scene. I block everything else. I'm very good at blocking things out of my memory. But I think, a lot of people might think we just cribbed this whole episode. I mean, because we love IPK, there's so many things to comment on. And the reason why we comment on the negativities is because the writers, the producers, they have shown us that they are capable of writing things progressively. They are capable of writing things beautifully. They're capable of writing things that actually abides by the Star Plus channel's theme of Rishta Vahi Sochne, which means same old relationships but new thinking. And they have shown that previously. So the reason we get baffled or we get upset is because when you've shown us what you can do, then why do you take 5 steps back? So that's the thing. Yeah, and with that, this podcast episode comes to an end. Thank you, Amrita. Thank you so much for being a part of today's episode.
Thank you so much, guys, for getting me here.
We are the ones who are thankful.
And Rids, nice to see you here. I'm sure a lot of people will be happy to see you here.
I don't know. I feel like all I came in, I called all of them assholes, and I'm gonna go. That's my role in this podcast.
All right, and we had a lot of fun filming. Amrita, I'm pretty sure you're going to be a podcast regular now.
I'll be very, very happy. Seriously, thank you guys. I'm very, very delighted.
We hope you guys also love this podcast episode as well. We love reading the comments that you gave. There's nothing better than discussing this show in length. So do leave your comments below. Thank you for over 225 subscribers. That means so much to us, so much. Don't forget to help us reach 1,000 by September. That's my birthday month. We will do anything you want. Terms and conditions applied. And with that, we sign off from today's episode. Next week, you guys will have the Janmashtami, which itself was so eventful. Nothing to do with Lord Krishna, but incredibly eventful. And with that, bye-bye.